the Draft Doctors Podcast for all of your fantasy AFL information. Now here's your hosts, John Crockett and Steve Fizz.
G'day everybody and welcome to episode 13 of the Draft Doctors. My name's John Crockett. Join me each week, Stevie Fizz. Steve, how you doing, mate?
Good, John. I hope listeners are doing well out there.
Yes, it was a big week in round three of the NAB Challenge. We had the good, the bad, and the ugly this week, which we'll be talking about a little bit later. We've had a game called off due to inclement weather, for lack of a better word, up in Mackay from the tropical cyclone Winston. They had the centre square floating away because they just recently relayed it. So I'm sure the boys got some water polo going on in there.
Yeah, well, who knows? It's always dangerous up in Queensland. But that's the third time in the last 5 years that the Saints have had a NAB match called off.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Okay, Saints, just stick to playing at Etihad Stadium. You know it's not going to rain. You've got the dodgy surface, but leave it at that. Also, we got Big Mummy cleared of injury from that ankle rolled, whatever it was, on Thursday night or Friday night. So he'd be right for round one. Another big injury, Jackson Thurlow gone with an ACL in the right knee, so he's gone for the season. He was actually looking pretty good before he went down, actually.
Yeah, he was. That's really bad news. We hate seeing injuries, man. Like nothing worse. And he was a young player with a good future. I'm sure he'll bounce back. Wish him the best.
All the best to Jackson there. And the T-train running right in the VFL for Collingwood seconds there. So you can expect him to line up against the Doggies this week, you would imagine. And in some sad news, 89 Brownlow medalist Paul Couch sadly passed away. Apparently went into cardiac arrest while riding his bike on the Great Ocean Road in Apollo Bay there. So condolences to Paul Couch and his family.
Yeah.
So moving on, we're going to get right into it. But before that, if you'd like to send us a question or anything, hit us up at Twitter, at the Draft Doctors. We love the fan interaction there, or head over to Facebook, hit the like page and send us a question. If you've got anything, you know, tossing up between two players or whatnot, send us a question there or drop us a line in the email. Let us know how we're going. TheDraftDoctors@gmail.com. Starting off with the first game of round three, we had the Gold Coast Suns versus the Eagles. Pretty scrappy game.
It was a horror game. I watched the start of the second quarter, and it was literally like watching a game of ping pong. They just mark the ball, kick it 50 metres, turnover. Mark the ball, kick it back 50. And they did that like 8 times in a row.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I didn't see this game, but I heard it was bad and pretty poor conditions as well from what I hear.
Very windy.
Very windy. I feel like that with a few of the games this year.
Yeah, they're talking maybe they're not protected because they're not in the big stadiums and that. But
yeah,
that just sounds like
you're professionals. Players I liked, this player did go down with a slight injury to his right ankle, was Lonergan. Starred the week before, but only 48% game time, but he's finished with 11 possessions, 3 marks, 6 tackles. So, and also, with Swallow missing a large chunk of the year.
And Jaeger missing that first month as well.
He was, Ronnie Eads came out and said Lonergan will be playing Swallow's role.
Yeah.
So, shooting right up my board, if you ask me.
Yeah, there's not many guys, not many better looking defenders, you know, that are going to be in the late rounds.
Yep.
You know, they don't have that sort of upside.
Massive upside. I mean, for 48% time on ground, 60 fantasy and 64 super coach.
That's fantastic.
That's crazy. Another guy who makes me sick in the mouth to say
just
this
one thing. With that, when we're talking about game time, just because they have 48% game time, you don't sit there and go, oh, well, double that.
No.
That's not how it works. Maybe he had like an extra,
maybe 30 odd points.
Yeah.
This guy, I don't like his name, Trent McKenzie.
Oh, the cannon.
The cannon. The big super boot. He was good. He played off the halfback and a bit through the midfield. Use that big cannon of his really well, really effective. 25 possessions, 5 marks, 5 tackles. He's all wait and see for me.
The problem that I have is what happens when, you know, the other gun halfbacks come, like Kolodziejczyk, Narczewski. These guys aren't missing out on a game for the sake of Trent McKenzie. I think it's a step in the right direction for him, but it's just a good NAB game at the moment for me.
Do you think Malcheski is going to get back to that best? Or
I don't think Malcheski is going to be a great fantasy option, but I think he's in the team.
Oh, yeah. Another guy who stood out for me is Tuk Miller.
Yeah, yeah, much. He's the one that really caught my eye.
It was really good last year. I watched a bit of him last year, and just little pocket rocket just running around, presenting some real late value for me. If he only has a pure mid though.
No, so. He's forward.
Oh, okay. He's a forward. Okay.
He's forward.
Oh, well.
I got caught out on this. Actually, I owe someone a drink because I bet he was just a mid as well.
Oh, well, there you go. But yeah, looking really solid if he's a forward. He's right up there on my radar now as a good late pick.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because he sort of got overlooked. His year last year, his debut year, got so overlooked because, the Cripps, Hogans, Sheeds, they all played these great rising star seasons. Tuukka Miller played all the games,
yep.
Played very well. He's someone who could absolutely take another step up because he's got, we always look for talent and opportunity. We know he's got talent. And he sure as hell got an opportunity in that midfield.
Absolutely. One guy who really disappointed me, Jack Martin. It's 2 weeks in a row now, just doing nothing, hasn't done much, going right off my radar now.
I let him off the hook on this one because the team Gold Coast trotted out was pretty light on for talent. And West Coast only just won, but their team was they had their midfield stars in.
Yeah.
So Jack Martin really needs that outside ball. I don't think he had the guys to necessarily get him the ball. So he's a small forward, small midfielder. He's going to miss out when his team's not
performing as well.
Yeah, yeah. So I give him a little pass on that, but I'd certainly like to see a bit better.
Yeah, absolutely. Moving on to the Eagles, Mark Lacroix really caught me eye. Starting off in the midfield, don't know if he was there just because with Jetta going down. So keep an eye on him this week. I will be just to see if he does start that midfield again.
Well, I've always liked the idea of him pushing up.
Yep.
But it's just sort of never worked out for him. So, yeah, he was best on ground for mine. He was phenomenal.
Quite easily. Gaff and Pritis both played very good in their games, so don't really need to touch too much on that. Yo-man.
Yo-gone.
Yo-gone,
yeah.
Yo-is gone.
Yeah, he's... I think I had him as a D2. That's... That's slipping a little bit.
Big time, big time. Yeah. 84% time on ground for 45.
It's just not happening for him.
No, it certainly isn't. And, yeah, I don't know, is that because of your...
The funny thing is, you look at his nut, like, he still had 11 contested possessions, 5 clearances. Like, the numbers aren't horrible. Like, he had 15, they're all handballs, but he did nothing else. Like, there's no marks, there's no tackles, there's no goals.
Might not be a link in that chain either, so...
It's hard to... I don't know. It's just... We're sort of on him, but it just... He's going to be one of those yo-yo players.
Yeah.
What a pun.
Hey.
Zing.
Anyone else there for you, Steve?
Yeah. Jeremy McGovern kicked the match winner. Did some nice things.
Yeah,
he did. Nice things. It's hard to know with him because he's just... They play him as the swing man, so...
Yeah.
But he seems to be able to score well no matter what he does.
So do you reckon he's going to be sort of like Hurley... Few years ago, you're going to see a lot of him forward and back.
I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? I think I can't tell you where he's going to play.
Well, looks like
he didn't play in the ruck. I know that much.
Well, it looks like they're prepping him to play forward and back. Is that?
Well, he kicked the match winner. You want him forward. Brad Shepherd played a pretty good game. I'm not really on him. Maybe as a D5 bench option.
Yep.
But the guy I really, if you're playing Supercoach draft, the man I really liked, I had him as an early D3, and I'm all over it, is Shannon Hearn.
Oh, man, I've kept that little ace up my sleeve.
There's no ace there, buddy. I've been looking at him all preseason. I love Shannon Hearn. We know he's got the tall defenders back.
Yeah.
They feed him the ball. He kicks it like 65 metres onto someone's nipples every time.
Yeah, when Shannon Hearn's got the help around him, he is fantasy gold.
Yeah, but he's not playing key this year, so he's off the chain.
He's off the chain, that's right.
So... I love Shannon Hearn. I'm all about him in Supercoach Draft. But yeah, Dream Team Draft is just not a guy who does it.
No. Moving on to the Friday night game, we had actually a real cracker of a game, GWS and the Sydney Swans.
Lot to like in this game.
Oh yeah, I could talk about all afternoon about this one. Starting off with Callan Ward. I think with Treloar gone, he's really stepped up. 10 clearances, 9 tackles, 2
Wait
marks.
Wait a minute, when we've been talking this season, you haven't liked Callan Ward at all.
Well, I haven't seen him play a game, mate.
Come on.
I had my questions, but now that I've seen him, love it. 23 possessions, 78% time on ground. Looks great. Doesn't have to share it with Treloar. Lock him in.
He's a gun.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. He's just a gun.
Great mid two for me.
He's going to be a really early mid two.
Yeah. I think I had him around the 15, 16 mark.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I got him there as well. Lukey Parker, though.
Woof.
Oof.
Lukey
That's
Parker.
That's two in a row.
Certainly is.
He's blowing it up. He's back to his form.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And just on that, I think he might have taken over Hanbury there. Like,
yeah, and this is what I've been preaching all pre-season. If you've been listening to the show, been talking about Hanbury being more on the outside this year.
Yes.
The numbers for Hanbury, this is the one that blows me away, is he's still actually getting enough of the ball. He's got 21 possessions, but he's always a kick-heavy player, which is fantastic for our fantasy. The two games he's played, he's actually had more handballs than kicks.
Okay.
So it's really interesting because he's getting the ball, but it affects his scoring.
Yep.
Obviously, if you're handballing more. So I'm not drafting Hanbury because where I have him, I'm not going to get him.
Well, he's definitely sliding for me and Parker rising for me, if that makes sense. A big sliding doors there for me.
Yeah, I had Hanbury, I think, as a back end mid two, and he's being drafted first round a lot of the places I'm seeing.
Yeah.
And I'm not paying that price for someone who I feel is about to get. I feel like last year will end up being his premier fantasy season in his career.
Absolutely.
Still a good player.
Oh, yeah.
But I think his role is diminishing his scores.
Big time. And Parker and Mitchell there just both playing pure mid in the guts, taking those points away from him.
Yeah.
Also with Luke Parker, great POD for salary cap. Not seeing him in a lot of teams at the moment.
He's in my team.
He's in my team too.
Yeah.
Dylan Scheel looked really good in his first hit out there. 71% time on ground. Just locking him in.
Yeah, he's a good player.
Yep, locking him in.
I think I still am around that, right around that 20th mid.
Yeah, right on that M2, M3.
Yeah, I mean, we just talked about Dan Hanbury. I'm probably still choosing Dan Hanbury over him.
No, I'm taking Dylan Scheel.
Okay.
Yep.
That's interesting. Yeah, I can see it. Yeah, I don't have a problem with that.
And your boy, Toby Green.
Yeah, he was everywhere. He really played an interesting floating. He was really just floating everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, 20 touches, 8 tackles, kicked the goal, set up a couple. So there was a little bit of a forward emphasis. But he was picking up touches around halfback.
Yeah, that's right.
So, you know, that's certainly more of a positive. I hope he plays in the... Are they playing in this week?
They are playing... Brisbane at Metricon.
Yeah, so I really hope to get I'll be really keeping a close eye on him before our draft, well, our home league draft, because he's mid two, maybe.
Yeah,
I've got him. If he doesn't play that floating role and he's forward, then he's just not.
Forward 2-3, maybe?
Well, if he gets the midfield time, he's a forward 2.
Yeah.
Definitely. But if he doesn't, then he's, you know, 3.
Yeah,
so.
For sure. Old man Chompers, Stevie J, turning back the clock.
I did say, let's keep an eye on Stevie J early in the piece.
Played as a permanent forward, 3 goals.
I think I also made vomiting sounds when I said that.
Yeah, but 17 possessions, 3 goals, few tackles, few marks, set a few up.
He's moving freely.
Yeah, well, he was killing it in the time trial, so.
So, yeah. But I never doubted his straight line running last year. Like, I watched him, and he couldn't bend. He couldn't turn. It seems to be back a bit.
You don't really need to do as much in the forward line, I suppose. So, and that's where he's going to play.
Yeah.
So, good for the GWS there. And Ryan Griffin, he's okay in his first hit out. Just plotted along, I think.
Yeah, he's fine. He's not someone I'm really targeting.
No,
I know in Ultimate, he's got the defensive eligibility.
Yep.
But I'm still not convinced that his scoring output's going to be fantastic.
No, you didn't play a hell of a lot. He's
not a big tackler.
Never has been. He's always been that sort of outside sort of player.
He needs the volume, and I don't think the volume's going to be there to justify a really early pick.
No, it won't be an early pick. Maybe be a good late round for me, but...
There's one guy you're missing on the hot list, and that is Heater. He destroyed.
Everyone saw that. That's why I barely mentioned it. But yeah, Heath Shaw looks like he's continuing on from last year.
There's a few bad players as well, Jono.
Oh, yeah, I've got a couple there. Lance Franklin.
Yep.
See you later. You're not in my. I did have him as a top 10. No.
Probably the top 10 forward. Yeah, I never had. I think he ended up being there because so many guys ended up losing eligibility.
Yeah.
But that's changed.
Yeah.
What about Jeremy Cameron for an even stinkier performance?
Did he play?
This was the stinkiest cheese. He played 83% of the game.
Oh, God.
And guess how many possessions?
One?
Four.
Four. Ah, Lewis Jenner territory.
I love it. That's some stinky cheese, man.
Big time.
And Kurt Tippett, really.
Yep.
Well, he had the hitouts, but he had nothing else.
No, that's why I got Sinclair there. He had 15 hitouts, but had a few more possessions.
And a goal, I think.
So
that was bizarre, man. If Kurt Tippett's getting 31 hitouts, I'm expecting him to be getting at least 90.
But remember, that's the advantage rule. So I know that's for super coaches. Would that affect how many to advantage?
Well, his super coach score was worse than his dream team.
Oh, okay.
But he only had 7 touches. He had no marks.
So he didn't play a lot forward, or?
Well, I just don't think he got involved.
Okay.
I mean, really, if you watch the match, GWS controlled the match.
Yeah.
But that was... Ugh.
One to watch on that one, I would say. Well, I think you're going to... We were expecting that from Tippett. It was going to be up and down.
Yeah.
I thought
it'd be a bit more consistent if he was in that number one role, though.
Yeah, that's true.
JPK had a pretty... He played a lot. He didn't really have a great score. The fantasy scores in the end.
No.
Only had one mark and one tackle, so that, you know, usually expect JPK to be around 6.
Yeah, that's right.
So he had a pretty... I mean, he got some touches, but... Yeah, I don't think he...
Maybe they're just plodding along, just who really cares? Let the GWS have a win and move on from there, I would imagine. Who knows?
Mm.
I don't want to talk about this game, but moving on, we're going to the Cats v Bombers. Just to let you listeners know, I am not talking about any Bombers. They were horrible. They stunk. I'm not even looking at drafting any Essendon players now. I think the best player was...
About God?
No, he's off the list. None of them. They get stuffed.
Jesus. He could be like a top 3 pick in Ultimate.
I don't care. None of them. They're gone. They're going to do nothing all year. Get stuffed. Danger, brilliant again. Lock him in. Top 3, top 4 pick. Duncan, really good.
Yeah.
Again. And one guy I've had my eye on him, just waiting for him over the preseason. Jake Colajasny could get set to get a bump now that Thurlow has gone down with an injury.
Yeah,
he was pretty solid. 16 possessions, 8 marks. Just one to keep an eye on. And also another bloke, rookie listed but mature age, is Chipman Tommy Ruffles.
Yeah, I didn't have him on my list of.
No, he just popped on my list as I was watching the game over the weekend. What about you, Steve?
Well, I think Hawkins, Caddy, Blixarves, Guthrie, they all smashed it. I will give you one Essendon name, and that's Martin Gleeson. We had a listener ask us about him last year. Did find a bit of the ball, only played 62% of the game. He's got some late round appeal as a defender. We know the defender pool's pretty thin. He's just one to keep an eye on, I think. Zach Smith.
Yep.
I think this is really interesting just for your drafting process as well. I wasn't aboard Zach Smith at all, but he's played 2 pretty handy games. He only played half the game, but scored pretty well. 14 disposals, only 8 hitouts, so, you know, Stanley got the majority of the ruck time there.
Yep.
But, you know, his scores were fantastic, especially Supercoach. But this is the thing. If you're playing in a 10-man league, he's just deepening the ruck stocks. So there's less emphasis on your Goldies and Martins.
But here's my thing. He's played against a hack Bombers team with no...
But we've seen him score well before. And what I'm saying is...
I just want to see him play against a Sanderlands, a Goldstein, a Premier Ruckman.
Yeah, he's probably not going to score as well, but the team's going to be good. They're going to get the ball.
Yeah.
And he's... But my point is this, that if you miss out on your...
Primo.
Like the Primo Rucks, don't go drafting bloody... Source Jacobs in round 2.
No.
Like, there's going to be plenty of rucksmen, especially in Supercoach.
Well, he had 10 clearances as well as Zach Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's going to be all... There's just plenty of good rucks, especially in Supercoach. Less so in Dream Team. I'll acknowledge that. But I just think because of this deepening pool of rucks, like we see there's so many single rucks, that it's not panic stations if you miss one of these top guys.
No, that's right.
So that was an interesting note, I thought.
I'd probably look at Zach Merritt. I retract that.
Yeah, that's yeah. Good call. Good call, buddy.
To what was actually a really good game of football.
Oh, sorry. There was a couple of Coldplays as well I wanted to talk about.
Oh.
Old Fatty.
Old Donut. Donut Man.
Old Donut's Motlop. What are you doing, son?
38 degrees up there at, where were they, Wagga Wagga or wherever they were?
Shep.
Shep. 38 degrees. Should have lost a few kilos up there, buddy, oh boy.
He was in the sauna. Man, he's not getting the pill at all. No. I'm really starting to wonder if this, all these midfield guns like your Dangers and all this coming into the side.
Really affecting
starting
him.
Starting hurt Motlop scores.
Where's he even playing? Is he?
He's just outside and so apparently he's not moving well.
No, obviously not.
So only 13 touches in 82%. This is terrifying me. I was pretty high on Motlop coming into this year. I'm like, he's going to play half forward wing. He's going to smash it.
Kick 40 goals for the year.
And I'm starting to feel a little bit bad about that.
Well, he has been smashing it. The donuts.
Yeah, he's... God damn it. Yeah, that's so he's just... Man, if he doesn't show me anything in the third match... Yep. Do they have a third match?
They do. Everyone's playing this week. There's 9 games this week. They are playing... the Freo at Domain.
Okay, so...
A big open ground. Should...
Man, if he doesn't show me anything...
Gaunt.
Well, I'm just not going to get him... This is the thing. You still got to rank him where he's probably around going to be drafted. But, well, I mean... I don't have to rank him there, but he's going to be in that forward three rank, potentially. Yeah. Yeah, well, he probably will be. Look, he will be. It's just, let's not go crazy. But you're not going to get him there.
No.
Someone's going to take him as a second forward.
God.
And from what I'm seeing right now, that's going to make me vomit.
That was me last year? I had him as my second forward last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, gone for me.
Bartel didn't do much either. But I'm not worried about that. It's Jimmy Bartel.
Yeah, he's safe.
Next game,
Roos v Pie. Actually, a quality game of football, which was good.
It's a good game. Both the Pies games have been good games.
Yeah, so they're looking really sharp. The Pies this year.
Let's just put a little.
Taylor Adams. Woo-hoo.
Did he get it done?
He certainly did.
Man, I hate Taylor Adams, but hey, I'm starting to like him.
60% disposal efficiency. It's getting up there.
That's like records for him. Well, he kicked them all too much. He needs to handball it. He doesn't miss them very often.
He was awesome. He ran all day. 3 marks, 3 tackles, 26 possessions. Only 69% game time, but he's really shooting
up
the balls.
Is he in the mid-2 category now?
Certainly for...
I mean, there's so many names.
Certainly for fantasy.
There's so many quality players.
For mid-2, did you say, or forward 2?
Mid-2? He's not a forward. Do you start skipping him in front of guys like Shiel? Numbers are there.
I was actually playing around with it over the weekend. I'm doing my mid-rankings, and he was creeping up, dropping a few. And so one more game against the Doggies this weekend. I'll keep a real close eye on him, I think, because I'm liking him.
Yeah.
I know you don't like him, but Levi Greenwood.
I don't like him.
He worked hard for all his possessions. He had 25 of them, laid 8 tackles. He was solid.
Yeah, he was.
He was. Don't know if he's going to do it each week with Treloar coming back in, but...
And Swan.
Ooh, from what the whispers on...
No.
Playing more permanent forward like he was a couple of years ago, just shooting down the list if that's the case.
Oh, well. They're paying him money, so maybe.
Yeah. And Alex Fasolo, pick-up man, is still getting the job done.
Yeah, he's killing it.
Yeah, back to that, was it 2011-12 form?
I don't know, but he looked good.
He does look good. Very good.
He's very contrasting because you put him next to Cloak in the forward line and one ball goes straight as an arrow through the sticks every single time. And the other one, Travis Cloak, man. Free kick, 20 metres out in front. Oh, yeah.
We know that's Travis Cloak.
Oh, man.
Cloak should not be allowed to enter the 50. Like, if he's outside, he'd just kick it from the goal square and bang. The centre square, he'd be right.
Some things just never change.
No, they don't. Daniel Wells looked really sharp out there
For
the Kangaroos.
He's become a forward...
Didn't do a hell of a lot, but he just looked really sharp.
Forward 4 option at the moment.
Yeah,
maybe even moves up to a 3 eventually, but I'm happy to take him as a forward 4.
I'd take him as a forward 4 and just hope his body holds up because
he
really helps with the Roos drive there. Sam Gibson caught my eye a little bit.
No, don't even. No, no. Don't. Where's the alarm? I'm just going to... We're going to increase the production value so I can make an alarm sound. Yeah. I can cut that in.
Yeah. I won't talk about Sam Gibson then.
I hate Sam Gibson.
He teases every year. Don't like him? I thought he was solid. But he'd be a bench cover. That's about it for me.
That's the worst thing about him is he's running machine and he can rack up like 30 touches, but he can also get 4.
That's true. Nick Del Santo.
Yeah, he's on my list.
Why are no one talking about him? He's a gun.
Yeah, he is. He's a super coach gun.
Yeah, super coach for sure.
I've got no problems.
Yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't say killer, but very solid.
I don't think I'll take him higher than if he's my fifth midfielder.
Perfect.
I'd prefer 6, but yeah, I think 6 is my spot.
5, 6. Just
depends where I'm falling in the draft, but I don't want to go crazy on him.
No. But very, very good late value there. If you're looking for him, because as I said, no one's talking about him.
Yeah.
You got anyone else there?
I thought Petrie played pretty well.
Yep.
He's up the ground. He's very consistent. He's a good forward. Let's be honest.
Yep.
He has his good and bad games. He's a key forward. We know that. But I think by the end of the year, he'll be in that forward 3 category.
Yeah, for sure.
Jack Crisp was okay.
Yep.
But he's completely off my board.
Yeah.
Ben Brown actually scored pretty well as well. 10 marks. 68% of the game. Scored very well.
Yeah, he's coming along.
Yeah, I didn't think... The interesting thing was we talk about the cold players in each game. I didn't have any.
Yeah, I didn't have any either.
So it was a really high quality game, I thought. Yeah. And the teams were pretty good.
Yeah.
So I got no issues with that. I had some interesting low time on ground. Both the Collingwood Rucks. Barely played.
Okay.
44 and 42% for Grundy and Witts.
Interesting.
It seems like they want Witts to be the starting ruck and Grundy because he's better around the ground than Witts.
Yeah.
But I have no interest in either of these guys anymore. I had some interest in Grundy, but the fact that they really seem to like Witts as the tap ruck. He's the better tap ruckman, that's fine.
Yeah.
But Grundy, when Witts isn't there, he scores fantastic, but with him.
Moving on to the only Sunday game after the Brisbane and Saints was washed out was the Dogs v Demons. Libba, he's back, 10 tackles, 16 possessions, moved well in his first hit out. Looks like he spent a little bit of time down back too, but that's just Luke Beveridge liking his players to be multi-positional, if you want to say.
He seems like one of the least movable players.
Mm. But 10 tackles, still, he's a star.
Yeah, he's gone.
He'll be fine. Another one on my list, I'm keeping an eye on him, is Ruffy. Jordan Ruffhead played back and forward. Again, Beveridge still playing the 3 ruckman in Campbell, Minton, and Ruffhead. So not too sure if he will get that backup ruckman, if you want to call it, if they do go with Minton. But still keeping my eye on him, see how he's going to go.
Yeah, he's... I've lost interest, really.
It's defensive ruck, just... Yeah.
Yeah.
Still hoping, but
the problem is fading. The problem is he doesn't... Like, for me, he's... I expect the Bulldogs to be pretty good. And if he's not playing in the ruck, he's going to be playing key defence.
Or key forward.
No, I don't think he's going to play key forward. I know they move him around, but he's been defender basically...
The last couple of years.
Till now, so yeah. So it's, to me, I've sort of lost that interest.
Yeah.
Because Minson was okay.
Didn't have the hit out, though.
No.
They went to Campbell, which was very interesting.
Yeah.
But
Gorn got all the hit-outs.
Yeah, I suppose Gorn was getting them all. The Doggies didn't have a real strong side. They had a lot of their good players out. So Rovat was also surprising. Don't know if he'll be getting much of a game. Bailey Dale, also solid, but again...
Lin Jong was their best player.
Lin Jong, very good. Again, I think once Bontempelli, McRae, Hunter, all those guys come back, his score and possessions drop.
Yeah.
But still played very well. Now to the Demons, Jack Viney. Woo! Paul Roos, look
get
at that.
Get aboard that train, people.
Oh, it's the Viney train. He's going up and up and up. Killed it again. 25 possessions, 6 clearances, 6 tackles. I was very interested to see how he actually went with Jones and Vince in the side. No problems whatsoever.
Yeah, look, Viney's a star. Isn't it amazing once Paul Roos is out of the box, the Demons win? and
play good football.
even Jack Watts.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I was going to say, I found it really hard to enjoy this game without the comically bad performances of Jack Watts. Because we were sitting there watching the game together, and we're going, Jack Watts, ha ha ha. And then he bobs, turned around, and kicked 3 goals. And
You're not supposed to do that, Jack Watts. No, yeah. But Maxie Gawn, he's certainly a lock for number 3 ruckman, you would think, now.
No. No.
In terms of drafting?
No.
Still got Sauce ahead of him?
Well, I put it this way. I mean, well, maybe in your ultimates and your dream teams, I think Sauce probably still in front of him. I've got no problems with it. Hey, there's every chance Max Gawn finishes in front of him.
Yeah.
But in Supercoach, you're talking in front of Nick Nat, in front of Sandy. I don't know that he'll go in front of them in drafts.
I could see it happening, though.
I could see it happening, but I'm not sure that it will. Especially, it's not going to happen in every draft.
No. But man, he's shooting at my boards.
No, he's fine. He's very good. No problems if people want to take him as the 3rd rock off the board. I've got no issues with that.
Don't think he'll go 2nd ahead of Martin. He definitely won't beat Goldie, but can you see him going ahead of Martin?
Well, I think Martin's the safer rock in the Dream Team format.
Big time, yeah.
So the question is, do you think he'd go in front of Goldie in that format? No, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
No. So it's crazy to talk. I don't think it's... Oh, it's probably not crazy to talk about, but I don't see it.
No.
I think he's fine, though. And I think he'll be of value.
Oh, big time.
So
just hope he stays fit as well, because we know he's had those injuries in the past. But
looks good.
Looking really good.
When I went down to Demons training, he looked great.
Yep. Yeah. Especially that beard just scares the crap out of people. Vandenberg... really took a hit with the big guns coming back, I think.
Well, he got injured.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I missed a quarter and a half because I was outside doing the gardening.
He got injured and went off. Oh. That hurt his ability to get possessions.
Yeah, it certainly does. Oh, well. and just for salary cap games, Clayton Oliver looks like he's cementing a spot there. Good little cash cow.
Hmm. There's one more guy I wanted to talk about.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm a big fan.
Yeah.
Nathan Jones.
Ah, Nathan Jones, yeah.
I think still think he's criminally underrated in the drafts I'm seeing.
Well, he's been going real late.
He's been going horribly late. Like, he's mid fives and sixes. Like, I just think he's such a good player. 21 touches, goal, 70-something percent. Like,
and he just came in an article saying he's 95%.
If people are drafting him as a mid five, I'm very comfortable drafting him as my mid four, especially in Supercoach.
Yeah, for sure.
Not so much in Dream Team. Probably I want him as...
No.
Maybe more as a mid five, but I'm very comfortable with Nathan Jones. I think he's a gun.
No, played very well his first game back after that neck surgery.
Cold one for Bernie Vince, actually.
Yeah, I actually didn't recognise him because his hair had grown out. I'm like, who's that player? I had to look him up. But yeah, Bernie Vince just kind of looked like he was running around for...
And really low time on ground for Lyndon Dunn.
Yeah, that one really got me. I don't know if he...
I think he's just... I think it's probably just management, because Lyndon Dunn's as professional as they come.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, so a good win to the D's there. Coming up to the games this week, we've got a full 9 games coming up. First game on Thursday night, we've got the Tigers and Port at Etihad Stadium. A few of the guys I'm looking at are Wingard, the Greys, and Boak for Port. And for the Tigers, Hooley, Townsend, and Miles.
Yeah, I'm just looking at Wines to bounce back from that just vomit-worthy performance last time.
Yeah.
Still Westhoff. I still like Westhoff. Yep. I'm very interested to see him, because apparently Dixon's going to be playing this week.
Okay, that'd be interesting.
And Sam Gray, if he plays.
Yep.
Because all these are, like we say every time we record the show on Monday.
It's all speculative.
I know the team sheets are out on Wednesday when you're listening to this, or after when you've listened to this. So yep. We just don't know who's playing. So
no, these are just people we hope to see.
Yeah.
Friday night, we've got the Blues v Swans at Etihad. Who I'm looking at is Cruiser, Gibbs, and Thomas. And Hanbury, Mitchell, Sinclair, and Tippett for the Swans for me.
Yeah, Murphy and Gibbs, if Murphy plays, we don't know. Doesn't look like it.
No.
Just hopefully a better Bryce Gibbs and hopefully a better Buddy.
Yeah, for sure.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting just to see where Hanbury's positioned on Friday night. I think generally being there's been a full dress rehearsal before round one.
The problem is, what are you going to take out of it? They're playing frickin' Carlton.
Yeah, this is true.
A guy like Hanbury should kick 5 goals and get 40 touches. And everyone's going to draft him in the first round and I'm going to go, ah!
God damn it. and we're lucky on Friday night. We've got 2 Friday night games. We've got the Gold Coast versus the Crows. So hopefully we get to see the Ablett come out and play in this one, but we'll wait and see. But I'm looking at Prestia. If he plays Lonigan, I don't think they're going to risk him.
Probably not.
Kolarczyk, Miller and Saad again, just to see how they go. And if they play the Crouchers, Hampton and Big Lynch.
Yeah, I got Sauce Jacobs as someone I'm watching.
Has he played at all this preseason?
He's throwing me under the under the bus here, Jono. I don't know. I'm going to say no. I don't know. That's why I want to see him.
Yeah.
maybe. Yeah, he must have played, surely. I'm interested to see the Suns defenders.
Yeah.
Because we've mentioned Saad, Malcheski, Kolarczyk, all these guys. How does that work out?
Worked out pretty well last year.
Well, McKenzie, how do all these guys fit in together?
McKenzie wasn't even in the 22 last year.
But that's what I mean. How do all these guys fit in together?
That's true.
And, man, the biggest question mark for me all preseason is Rory Sloane.
Yeah.
Is he a midfield one? Is he midfield two? I just don't know.
I don't think he'd be midfield one. I think I'd early mid two.
See, I kind of projected him as a one early because I thought without danger, he's so good. He'll beat the tags. They've got the inside mids to feed him the ball if he doesn't win his own clearances anyway.
Mm.
But I'm very worried.
I'm not. But I won't be taking him as a mid one.
Yeah, I don't think I'll be getting him.
He'll definitely go mid two.
Yeah.
But if you get him or not. Saturday, Arvo at Eddie Hay. We've got the Dogs v Pies. And I'm looking at McRae, Hunter, Stringer, and JJ again. And for Pies, Swan, Treloar, Aish, and Adams.
Yeah, I'm looking at Swan, Treloar, and Adams. And for the Doggies, I'm looking at Matty Boyd if he gets out. I think he probably will. They just pulled him out of the last
should,
one.
Should, yeah.
Because he's one of the more premium defenders out there, one of the more premium scoring defenders out there. But I'm just a little
especially
bit worried.
Especially with McVeigh up in the air.
Yeah, that's right. I'm just a little bit worried about Matty Boyd. Maybe he just completely falls off the cliff this year.
Yeah, because they've got some good players.
They've got a lot of good halfbacks down there.
Yeah, that's right.
And Lukey Dalhouse. I'm lower on Dalhouse than a lot of people. A lot of people are taking him as a forward one.
Yeah.
And I'm really, and he deservedly so. Like, let's be honest, deservedly so. But I'm just worrying with all these midfields coming back, whether he plays a lot more forward.
Like he was early in.
Early in his piece.
Mm. I don't know. Good to watch.
But that's one to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. And another Saturday game, we've got the Cats and Freo at the main stadium. For the Freo, I'm looking for Sheridan, Ibbotson, Barlow, and if he plays, which I think he should, Bunnell. It's going to be really interesting to see where he plays. And I'm not sure, I don't think Joel Selwood would be playing, but Duncan, Guthrie, Caddy, and Jake Kolarczyk for me, for the Cats.
Yeah, I got Jake Kolarczyk as well. I liked his scoring
cut
on,
of his gym
on the weekend. But, you know, the Thurlow injury. I mean, we hate talking about injuries, but the injury really does open up a door for someone. Maybe it's him. Maybe it's easier to move Guthrie back now.
Yep.
Maybe Guthrie does get a great scoring, he's a good player anyway, but you know what I mean. Because, Thurlow was taking a lot of kick-ins last year as well.
Yeah, he was. Got a good kick on him.
So that opens up. I'm looking at Sheridan, Bunnell. Michael Johnson, one of my favourites this year. Supercoach draft. And Lachie Neal. Not overwhelmed at this point with him.
He was still hot and cold last year.
He was pretty hot last year.
He was pretty hot, but there was just a few...
Yeah.
A couple of weeks he'd just go cold.
Oh, that's going to happen. But I'm just, with Bunnell and Barlow moving back in, I don't know. I just, he's probably still a mid-two, but he could fall out of that mid-two range pretty quickly with guys like Parker and Shields starting to tear it up. They could go past him on my board pretty quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. And the last game on Saturday, we've got the Hawks v. Roos at Etihad. I'm looking at Hartung. Daniel Howe has really, really got me interested. Liam Shields, Daniel Wells, Del Santo, and the forever teaser, Zeeble.
I'm still just looking at Jermaine Birchall in that one. I'm really still interested in Duray.
Yep.
I can understand if people have got some cold feet there, but...
Hey, the numbers stacked up.
The numbers stacked up heading into the season, especially for Supercoach Draft. Birchall, I think, is still a very interesting one. He could
do anything.
Yeah.
And moving on to Sunday, we got Brisbane taking on GWS at Metricon. Bastanac, Bell and Hanley for me for Brisbane, and Green, Griffin and Roy Lobb if Mumford, well, actually not if Mumford, when Mumford eventually falls over.
I'm pretty sure Mumford's just going to spontaneously combust on the ground. like he's just like a Spinal Tap drummer. And it's just something happens to him every season. Well, Toby Green and Pierce Hanley, there's some great names to look at. I'm really keen on Pierce Hanley.
Because they haven't played, like, they got washed out. They haven't had match fitness, though.
Yeah. Green is just fantastic for your Dream Team scoring formats.
Yep.
Pierce Hanley's fantastic for your Supercoach. So there's some interesting names to me.
Yep.
And also, Tommy Rockliffe, the talk of him playing, like, he...
More time forward.
We know he's played forward a lot in the past. I'm terrified. I'm really backing away from... Well, not backing away, but I'm hesitant because this is an interesting stat from last year. Tommy Rockliffe only got to 30 possessions once playing with Dane Beams.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm.
So, really... Well, I mean, he had injuries and Beams had injuries, so it didn't really cross over particularly well. But it's... something to look at.
And,
you know,
coach has hinted more time forward like he was in his early days. I mean...
Yeah, well, what's interesting about that is he still gets tackles.
Yeah, I suppose, and he gets more goals, so...
Yeah. But big at least he's on the ground.
Yeah, that's for sure. And then we're moving into the D's v Saints. Just basically everyone for St Kilda. Nah, not really. Big Roo man, Nick Roo. Hopefully he plays on the wing. Dylan Robertson.
Yep.
And Jack Billings. And Vandenberg, Viney and Vince again.
Yeah, I'll keep a little eye on Nunes. He's only mid-eligible this year, but he's
could
still
be something
okay.
There.
Yeah, it could be just, I don't know, just it's just an eye, people. It's not, I'm not sitting here going,
pick him,
but yeah, let's keep an eye on him. And yeah, the Ds, they're all sort of, they're all okay, I guess.
And West Coast, not too many to look at. I've got the Crow, Gaff's going to be a star, and no Bombers at all.
No. Zach Merritt.
Zach Merritt, but yeah.
I think there's only a few.
Louis,
really...
if he plays, will he play?
Oh, who cares? I'm not picking him.
No.
Seriously, that guy, I think that guy was drumming for Spinal Tap before Bloody Mumford. Like, really? Come on. Yeah, West Coast, I don't know. Yo, I don't know. He's just... I just want to just spank him or something. Just do something else. I don't know. And Hearn. Because I love Shannon Hearn. I just like watching him play, to be honest. I think he's a gun. Essendon. Yeah, the only really guys I've got on my list are like Zach, Goddard and...
Gleeson. Bagley.
Bagley. And I mean, they're... Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Bird maybe.
He was horrible.
Yeah, I know.
Cooney tried.
Cooney tries.
But that's
his limit these
days. Yeah. Mailbag time.
Mailbag, yeah, we had a couple of really interesting questions from our listeners. We love the questions. Please, if you've got any draft-related questions, you know, a lot of people have already drafted, so they're looking at trade offers, or maybe haven't drafted, you're looking at who to pick with, you know, your pick, maybe,
yep.
Or you can't split a couple of players, just send them into the, we're on Twitter, just send us a tweet, hit us up on
Facebook
at the Draft Doctors on Facebook. So our first question was from... David, I don't know. Oh man, I'm going to pronounce your last name wrong, so I apologize.
Klopp
or Kloop? I'm
sorry.
Anyway, he asked us, how do you approach the last 4 to 6 rounds of your draft? Which is a pretty good question.
That's
because
really good.
We've put our rankings up, and they kind of gloss over the last guys in each position.
Yeah, that's right.
So how do you handle it, Joey?
Well, there's actually a lot of different ways you can go for it, like position haul. You can just stock up on your midfielders or your defenders, whatever, so it locks out the other people, and if you get a nugget, you might get a nugget of gold in there and then throw the rest back. That's what a lot of people did last year. What about yourself?
I'm looking for the, like we talk about the lottery tickets, I'm looking for the lottery tickets.
Yep.
I want all the guys with upside. This is another thing to keep in mind though, because you know, we know Ultimate Footy's the very fantastic draft format game. they allow you to have deeper squads.
Yep.
So if you've got deeper squads, then I'll probably take less lottery tickets. I find a couple of safer guys, like a Levi Greenwood.
Yep.
He should be there really late.
Absolutely.
So because those once you get in, you're going to get injuries.
Oh, for sure.
So you've got to have a couple guys on the bench who going to play every week. They're not going to score a million, but they're going to score you something.
They're going to be a solid maybe 80, 85, if that.
Yeah, so if you know, you can't take all guys like Took Miller, for example.
Yeah.
You know, because they'll some of them will crash and burn, and you just throw them back in the pool.
And look for flexibility in your dual position players, because
yeah,
that really opens up your team if you've got a lot of forward mids, etc. Yeah. So really look at
that. And also a thing is, like, when you're getting to the, you know, if you haven't drafted your last defender or even your last forward, and there's a few guys you're like, yeah, I'll get one of them, yeah, I'll get one of them, don't be afraid to start taking, you know, a backup ruck or or a few extra midfielders before you make that last pick, because we always say draft in tiers. So if you've got, say, six, there's so little variance once you get down to those last defenders, aside from the guys with the bigger upside.
Yeah.
You can really just pick any of them, and they're going to give you X points.
Yeah.
But you might hit on that like look at last year, man. Chose
David Armitage
on the bench. Holy crap.
Star.
And that happens.
Yeah, you're going to get that. So even those extra midfielders, you know that's where your majority of injuries will come.
Yeah.
Grab a midfield, extra midfielders as a bit of an insurance policy.
Yeah, so and we had another question from a man on Twitter, Johan Oak, and he asks, How would your ranks and strategy change for your first round pick if not playing with captains?
One word, durability. Get someone who has proven he is a durable player over the journey, like Pendlebury. Look at him. 5 games missed in 5 or 6 years. Lock it in.
Yeah, it doesn't change too much for me, but instead of choosing, like if I was at pick 5 and say, you know, we haven't seen Gary Ablett this year, I'm sure it'd be fine, but if Gary Ablett falls to me, do I take him or do I want to take Dustin Martin, who I know is going to finish as a top 3 forward?
Yep.
Like, he's just locked in.
Yep.
So I might take a position player a fraction earlier, but at the end of the day, that we always say draft in tiers, and that I don't think it really affects it too much. I mean, you could potentially take Heath Shaw very early, but it doesn't change it for me because the top 5 mids, which is like,
Fife, Ablett, Pendlebury, Danger.
So they're clearly the best rucks. Oh, the best mids. So
change it up.
So take them, Goldie. You know, you just don't need to get that big average.
Nah.
So Heath Shaw and Supercoach is just so far and away the best defender. Easy. Just like Brendan Goddard in Ultimate is by so far and away the best defender. So you might take him.
Yeah.
In front of. Well, I mean, all the mids look pretty good to me, so I'm probably not passing them.
No, that's right.
But you might take them in front of a JPK.
Yeah, big time.
So, that's you just don't need that big score as much.
No. And if you would like to leave us a question...
I was just going to say, it probably affects your second round pick more.
Okay.
Yep. Because you don't feel married to getting a midfielder if you went positional first.
Yeah, that's true.
So...
And if you would like to leave us a question in regards to draft or anything else fantasy, head over to Twitter at The Draft Doctors, follow us there, or go over to facebook.com/The Draft Doctors, hit the like page, ask us a question, or even just drop us an email, give us some feedback. If you'd like to hear something different, head over to thedraftdoctors@gmail.com.
We also got some exciting news, Jono, for the listeners
who
enjoy the show.
We certainly do. A couple of things. We're doing our Listener League coming up
Monday night.
This Monday night.
On Labor Day.
Labor Day. So we're going to try and record that and put that up for you guys as well. And also the big surprise is we're going to trial 2 shows a week. That's right. Double the fun. So we're going to do a Monday show and a Thursday show, where we're going to talk about teams, team drops, team trades, waivers, etc., etc.
Yeah, the waiver, like, this is where a draft show, that's what we're about.
Yep.
One of the big things in draft is waivers. So we'll be getting you a show Monday night so you can put your claims in.
Yep.
And you'll be set.
Absolutely. All right, that wraps up our show for today. We'll catch you next week.